Shalom, welcome to Ask JTF, the program in which we attempt to answer questions from our great JTFers. I'm Chaim Ben Pesach from the Jewish Task Force. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Mitman, Shlomo Ben Sara, and Dorit Bat Sara, and to Ilui Neshamot, elevating of the souls, for Malka Bat Meir, Allegra Bat Shlomo, Daniel Nankin, Victor Hasdai, Pesach Zev Ben Dov, Lunita Adler, Shifra Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Barry Hoffman, Harab Mir Kahana, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Tzipora Fegi Bat Liba, Yosef Ben Meir, Robert Mitman, Dennis Shore, Helen Friedman, and Charles Zolot. Well, there were a number of events in Israel this past week, especially in the past couple of days, that were not good at all. On the day that we're doing this program, four innocent Jews were brutally murdered in Be'er Sheva. Hashem Yikom Damam, God should avenge their blood. Baruch Dayan Hayemet. These four Jews were murdered by a Muslim terrorist, a Bedouin Arab who is a citizen of Israel, an Israeli citizen with all the benefits of Israeli citizenship. And he exploited that in order to brutally murder four innocent Jews in Be'er Sheva. And the police wanted to, and he was shot to death by one of the Jews in Judea and Samaria, one of the Jewish heroes living in Judea and Samaria near Hebron. And the police wanted to arrest the Jew who shot to death a Muslim terrorist who had already murdered four Jews and was on his way to murdering more. Can you believe this? And finally there were protests and everybody was said, what the hell is this? And so the police returned his weapon to him and we're no longer putting him under investigation. It's unbelievable what a sick establishment we have in Israel. Similar to the establishment we have in the United States. The United States also is a very sick country. How many more Jews are going to be murdered? You know, in Judaism we're taught that you're supposed to feel the pain of your fellow Jew. You're supposed to be able to feel their pain as if it was your own pain. You're supposed to love them and care about your fellow Jew as if it was you that was suffering. If it was you that was facing being murdered, how would you react? Or if you were the parent or the child or the spouse of one of the four murder victims, how would you be feeling now? How can we just sit back and do nothing when this happens? What type of people are we? What type of world are we living in? How many of all the Jews living in the United States, how many give a damn or even know about the four Jews that were murdered in Be'er Sheva? What a tragedy. And the way to support them, of course, is by supporting Noar HaGevaot, the Hilltop Youth. They're the ones who will protect Israel from the creation of a so-called Palestinian state. They're the ones who are trying to prevent the massive illegal Arab building that will turn all of Israel into a terrorist slaughterhouse, God forbid. Because if we have a so-called Palestinian state, even though there is no Palestine, there are no Palestinians, Israel would be in borders that are only 6 to 9 miles wide. The whole state of Israel would be facing slaughter, God forbid. And the only Jews that are putting their lives on the line to stop this, the only Jews that are doing the only sane thing that has to be done to stop this, the Hilltop Youth, these heroes, they don't get the support that they need. Where is the support? Where all the money being raised for Ukrainian Nazi pigs who murdered hundreds of thousands of Jews during the Holocaust and who would like to exterminate every Jew in the world? All the Jewish money being raised for these murderers of Jews. And look at that compared to what the Hilltop Youth get. The only organization supporting the Hilltop Youth is JTF. That's not an example of what a sick generation we live in. And I know that, you know, the effective way to raise money is to be nice and positive and smiley face all the time. But no, I am not going to lie and pretend that things are okay because they're not okay. It's terrible that we don't have more support for the Hilltop Youth, and every one of us is obligated to support them. And these heroic young Jews are continuing to fight their battle, even though yesterday, the day before we did this program, two more hilltop communities were destroyed. The Israeli police and the Israeli army just came in and decided to destroy the hilltop communities of eight more Jewish families. Eight Jewish families there, the hilltops were destroyed. Why? Because the Israeli government wants to create a Palestinian state. They want to clear out the hilltop youth obstacle. Because they know that if the hilltop youth are not there, the Arabs are going to take over those hilltops and going to take over everything. Every strategic point in Judea and Samaria will be controlled by the Arab enemies of Israel. The type of Arab enemies who murdered these four innocent Jews in Beersheba today. They will be controlling everything in Judea and Samaria if the hilltop youth are not there. And so the Israeli government, instead of encouraging and supporting the hilltop youth to save Israel and save the Jewish people from this catastrophe, from this nightmare, instead, they go in, they don't touch any of the massive illegal Arab building that's taking place. They don't touch that, but they destroy 20 structures in two hilltop communities, supported by eight families who put their lives on the line to live in these communities. Just destroyed them, leveled their houses, destroyed everything they have. Imagine your house being destroyed, your furniture being destroyed, your clothing in a pile with all the furniture and all the destroyed, everything else, just a pile of destruction and debris. And you're putting your life on the line to save the Jewish people, and the so-called representatives of the Jewish people come in and destroy everything you're doing. It takes a lot of Ahavat Yisrael, love of Israel and the Jewish people, to be willing to go there and rebuild. And they are rebuilding, and they are collecting money now to rebuild their eight homes that were destroyed, and a total of 20 structures, including a synagogue, was destroyed. Can you imagine the Israeli police, those filthy, corrupt beasts? You imagine them going in and doing this under the orders of the traitor Prime Minister of Israel, Naftali Bennett, Shem Reshaim Yirkav, may the name of the rocket, name of the wicked rot, and the Defense Minister, Benny Gantz, Shem Reshaim Yirkav. Under their orders, of course, the Israeli politicians, the Israeli leaders, imagine them going in and destroying a mosque, and just deciding to completely destroy a mosque, even though mosques are being built illegally all over Israel. Does anybody destroy any mosques? But a synagogue built by Jews on a hilltop to save the Jewish people from a complete Arab takeover of our biblical heartland. The synagogue is destroyed. And nobody says a word. Well, there were members of the Knesset that condemned it. You know, thanks to JTF, the hilltop youth now are able to go to members of the Knesset and are able to publish columns, and they write columns in the Shabbat newsletters. And they're able to do other things which they couldn't do before, because before they were working full-time just to bring food on the table for their families. Their families would be starving, so they had to work full-time and then come back to the hilltops and drive into Jerusalem and get jobs as construction workers and other things. They had to do this just to get food on the table. Now we have at least provided some support for enough so that they have spokesmen. And they go, and this was the destruction of these two hilltops, which would have been ignored before JTF came into the picture 7 or 8 months ago, was publicized now on numerous websites and in the media. It wouldn't have happened before. So, and rabbis and Knesset members and other public people condemned the destruction of these two communities. And there's a fundraising campaign in Israel to rebuild these communities. The name of the communities, by the way, are Ma'oz Esther and Aira Shachar. These are the two hilltop communities. Again, does anybody care about this? Does anybody care that a blow was dealt to the campaign to save Judea and Samaria by the establishment that runs Israel? Does anybody care about that? And is anybody willing to step forward and say, you know something? These brave Jews, they're coming back after all the suffering that they and their families and their children went through with this terrible traumatic experience of having their homes destroyed, being early in the morning, police coming and knocking on their doors and dragging them out of their homes and destroying everything they have. And yet they're going back to rebuild under these conditions? Are there people out there that care enough to say, you know something? I'm going to help these people. I'm not going to be silent in the face of this. That's the question that we should be asking. And if you want to help, there are two ways to do it. If you want to help through JTF, one is online through PayPal. We have an online PayPal account. You go to our Hebrew web, our Hebrew main page, hayamin.org. That's hayamin.org. And there's a donate button in English on top, even though most of the web, obviously, 99% of the page is in Hebrew because it's a Hebrew main page. But there's a donate button on top in English, and you click on the donate button, and in a couple of minutes you can very conveniently make a donation to help these Jewish heroes. I think it's the least all of us can do. That's online. If you prefer to donate through the regular mail, that's the second way you can do it. If you want to donate through the regular mail, you just send checks and money orders made out to JTF. The checks and money orders are made out to JTF, and you send them to JTF, P.O. Box 650327, Fresh Meadows, New York, 11365. JTF, P.O. Box 650327, Fresh Meadows, New York, 11365. I hope that there are people out there that care about what happened on that hilltop and care about the Jews that were murdered in Beersheba and care about what happens in this world. To the people who deserve your support, not Ukrainian Nazis, they deserve no pity and no support. The people who deserve your support, who are good people and fighting for the most noble cause possible, the cause that God commands us to fight for, the Jewish return to the land of Israel. Okay, let's get to our questions now from our great JTFers. And we start out with the great Hirvatsky Noachide, who writes, and I quote, "What are the three differences between the pre-Sinai and post-Sinai Noachide code?" Unquote. Well, that's, for me, that's a rough question because I just don't know. I don't know specifically what three differences you're referring to. I'm not knowledgeable enough to know that. I could tell you some things that I do know. For instance, the seven Noahide laws, of course, were in effect before the before God giving the Torah to the Jews in Har Sinai. Har Sinai is Mount Sinai. Before God did that, they were in effect because simple logic and rational thinking tells you you don't murder people, you honor your mother and father. Belief in one God is something that logically people could come to that conclusion. And the other aspects of the laws to establish courts and have a civilized society so that there's justice and not commit murder and not commit terrible sexual sins. Those are all logical things. So those laws were in effect pre-Sinai, but they weren't yet commandments that were given at Sinai by God himself. At Sinai, something happened that affects not only the Jews, but also affects the Gentiles. God gave 613 commandments, Taryag Mitzvot, to the Jewish people, and gave at least seven commandments to Bnei Noach, to the righteous Gentiles. Righteous Gentiles, by the way, are any Gentiles who choose to be righteous. All Gentiles are obligated to follow these laws. And at Sinai, there was a commandment to do this. And it was a different situation. There is a different situation here because prior to what happened at Sinai, you had to be logical and be able to figure this out. And there were Jews, there were Gentiles, there were Jews and Gentiles who figured it out before. Our fathers, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they followed the laws of the Torah, for instance, even before they were given in Sinai. And there were Gentiles, like Shem, who followed the laws, who followed the Noahide laws, even before Sinai. But you had to be able to figure it out logically in your own mind, and that's not as easy as when you know God is commanding it, and God's voice was there commanding it. Because at Sinai, the Jews saw God's voice, it says. What does that mean, they saw God? How can you see a voice? What it means is that the Jews, the entire Jewish people there, had a prophetic experience. They all turned into prophets, and they had a prophetic experience, and they saw things and witnessed things and heard things and understood things that someone who did not have prophetic power would never have understood and would not have been able to comprehend. And so now we have an obligation from God Himself, and we have proof that God Himself has given the command. How do you have proof? How did the Gentiles, or the Jews saw it, but the Gentiles weren't there, they didn't see it, the Gentile nations. How do we have proof? Well, first of all, the entire Jewish people are witness to the fact, bear witness to the fact that they saw God's voice, that they saw things that made it clear that there was no doubt. There was no doubt in their mind. Not a single Jew in Sinai had doubt that God had communicated with them when this happened, when this event occurred. And the rabbis tell us, we're not sure exactly what, but that other nations of the world also experienced something when that happened in Sinai. There were various views and opinions as to what exactly it was, but they also experienced something when this happened in Sinai. Now, prior to Sinai, because you ask about the difference in pre-Sinai and post-Sinai, prior to Sinai, the Jews were following the seven laws of Bnei Noach. And after they got out of Egypt, there were several other commandments that God gave them before they got to Sinai. Between leaving Egypt and getting to Mount Sinai, there were several other commandments that God gave the Jews. But the 613 commandments, the entire full story, they didn't have until the revelation at Mount Sinai, until Ma'amad Har Sinai. Ma'amad Har Sinai means the presence at Har Sinai, the presence at Mount Sinai. And so the Gentiles had an entire nation that could bear witness to them about what had happened and what had taken place. Plus, there were things, we don't know exactly what, but there were things that Gentile nations also experienced at that time. And so it was much more compelling, even more compelling to believe and to follow the laws post Sinai. I don't think that's what you're asking about here, but I'm just giving you what I know, because I'm not sure exactly what you're referring to. So we have pre-Sinai, post-Sinai we have absolute proof of God giving these laws. Now, how much did that influence the Gentile nations? There is an indication that maybe not as much as you might think, because Yitro was Moses' father-in-law. And when Yitro came to Sinai, he said that he came to Sinai, while the Jews are in Sinai, he came to Sinai, and Yitro is not Jewish, by the way. The Chazal teach us that he converted, that he became a ger, he converted, but at the time when he came to Moses, he was still a Gentile and following the seven laws of Noah. And he came to Sinai, but when he came to Moses, the Torah tells us that he told Moses that he came because he heard about the miracle of the splitting of the Red Sea and the miracle of the war. And he heard about the war with the Plishtim, with the Philistines attacking Israel. The Philistines were the Nazis of those days attacking Israel. Not the Philistines, I'm sorry, the Amalek. Amalek attacking Israel, not the Philistines. Amalek, the Nazis of those days, attacked Israel in the Sinai when they got out of Egypt. And he heard about those two events, the war with Amalek and the parting of the Red Sea and the miracle of parting the Red Sea. Those were the things that profoundly affected him and that inspired him and motivated him to come and speak to Moses and join the Jewish people and give Moses excellent advice. He gave Moses because he was a genius, Yitro. But it was not. But he didn't mention the sign. He didn't mention what happened in Sinai. If he came, and this, and I'm asking, I'm mentioning this because there are opinions that he came after Sinai. There is no, you know, the stories in the Torah are not necessarily in historical order because the Torah is not a history book. So there are opinions that Yitro came after the revelation at Mount Sinai, and there are opinions that he came before the revelation in Mount Sinai. But if he came after, he didn't even mention that as one of the items. So how profoundly this affected the Gentiles, what happened at Sinai, is certainly a question. There's a question mark as to that. But clearly there was reason for the whole world to be affected by this event, because something happened to the Jewish people at this point. They became, in Mount Sinai, they became a light unto the nations and a holy nation and a nation of priests and a chosen people that were intended to be a nation of priests that bring laws to the other nations of the world. Again, I'll bet anything that this is not what you were referring to, Hidovatsky, but I guess I'm not knowledgeable enough to know exactly what you were referring to. But when I think of the differences between pre-Sinai and post-Sinai, those things I mentioned are the things I think of. Thank you very much, Hidovatsky. And now we go to Ram Sheva Sheva Efes, who's going to ask a question in Hebrew, and I'm going to quickly translate it. It'll just take a couple of minutes. Shalom Chaim Hayakar, Mashlomcha. Ratziti lehityaetz itcha legabei hamishkal sheli. Ani letzari shamen meod. Ani rotze lirzot lirot leheraot chatich bishvil sheani yakir isha yafa. Ata yachol latet li tip ech ani yachol lirzot bachazara. And Ram is asking about what he can do to lose weight. He says that he's very fat and that he wants to lose weight. And I'm going to answer him quickly in Hebrew and answer in English. Kodem kol, Ram, ani ra'iti otcha, hayu lanu kamuvan sichot be-zoom, ve'ani ra'iti otcha, ve'ani lo choshev she'ata shamen me'od. Ze ata lo. Aval, למען הבריאות זה כן כדאי לרזות לפעמים, ואם אתה רוצה לעשות את זה, זה פשוט מאוד. אתה חייב לאכול רק אוכל בריא, אך ורק אוכל בריא. זה לא רק טוב כדי לרזות, זה גם טוב בשביל הבריאות, שזה עוד יותר חשוב. ירקות, פירות, דגים, רק דברים בריאים, רם. סוכריות, עוגות, עוגיות, כל הזבל הזה, אל תיגע בזה יותר. תוכל להנות עם אוכל בריא, ואתה תהיה הרבה יותר בריא, ואתה גם תוכל לרזות. And what I said to Ram is, he can eat fruits and vegetables and fish and other things that are very healthy, and he'll lose weight. And you know, and there are things that are fattening that are also healthy, like whole wheat pasta, for instance. It has to be 100% whole wheat, though. Whole wheat pasta and brown rice, and there are other things that are healthy also. There, you got to watch it. You've got to limit yourself. But you can enjoy eating healthy food and have wonderful meals, and it's good for your health. Ram says that he wants this because he wants to be handsome so that he could find a girl the girl that he wants to marry. He wants to be handsome. Ram, the best way, again, if you want to look good and feel good and lose weight, the way to do it is to eat healthy food. הדרך לעשות את זה, זה לאכול אך ורק אוכל בריא. ותוכל לעשות את זה, ותוכל להנות. You can do it and you can enjoy it. Ram now asks, רציתי לשאול אותך, מה דעתך על הנשיא היהודון האנטישמי מאוקראינה שדיבר בזום מול הכנסת בצורה אנטישמית? And now Ram asks me about the self-hating Jewish president of Ukraine Zelensky, Mashmov Azikro, who went to the Knesset and started insulting the Jews and insulting Israel and attacking Israel in front of the Knesset, you know, the chutzpah of this filthy pig. And Ram wants to know what I think of that. Okay. Kamuvan she haboged, ha-menuval, ha-rasha hazeh, Zelensky, Mashmov Azikro, שלפי חב"ד באוקראינה התנצר, הילדים שלו, הוא מגדל ילדים כנוצרים, הוא כמובן נשוי לגויה, והוא תמיד היה אנטישמי, אפילו בתור קומיקאי הוא היה אנטישמי, כל הבדיחות שלו היו בדיחות אנטישמיות, כל הבדיחות על יהודים, והחיקוי שלו של יהודים, הכל אנטישמי. ולא רק זה, הוא תומך בכל ההחלטות האנטישמיות באום, בכל ההחלטות האנטישמיות בכל גוף בינלאומי, הוא תומך בהם נגד ישראל. אז והוא תומך בנאצים באוקראינה. אז הוא אנטישמי, יימח שמו וזכרו. And what I just told Ram is that this is a so-called Jewish president who intermarried, of course, and his children are being raised as Christians. He baptized them, by the way. And not only did he baptize his children, but this is someone who, as a comedian, all the jokes he told, he used to imitate Jews as a comedian. This is why they liked him. This is why the Ukrainian Nazis liked him. They used to imitate Jews and do it in an anti-Semitic way, make anti-Semitic jokes and anti-Semitic stereotypes about Jews. And this was his comedy routine. And as president of Ukraine, he has, of course, supported and defended all the Ukrainian Nazis who murdered Jews during the Holocaust. He defends the Ukrainian Nazis of today who openly march with swastikas, and he defends all of them and gives them awards and calls them heroes. This is a Jew calling people who march with swastikas, like the Azov brigades and militias, he calls them heroes. And this is a Jew who... This is a Jew who regards as heroes and defends as heroes the Nazis who murdered hundreds of thousands, Ukrainian Nazis who murdered hundreds of thousands of Ukrainian Jews during the Holocaust. So he's the lowest of the low. Okay, Ram now says, Ani margish ra biglal hapigua etmol sheratzchu arba Yisraelim Hashem yikom damam beber sheva sheze mechabel aravi nazi im teudat zehut kechula אין דו קיום איתם גם בושה שמשטרה עצרה את האזרח הגיבור שחיסל את המחבל ימח שמו וזכרו במדינה נורמלית יהיו נותנים לו צלש כגיבור שהקדוש ברוך הוא יברך אותך באהבת ישראל רם מאיר אברהם מקווה שנדבר שוב בפרטי. And Ram talks again about the incident where the four Jews were murdered. Ram, ani kivar dibarti al ze b'hathalat ha-tochnit v'gam ציינתי מה שאתה מציין פה על הגיבור שחיסל את המחבל. אני מודה לך, Ram. And now we go to Binyamin Yisrael, our good friend who writes, and I quote, one, did you know before reading this that March is Women's History Month? You know, I may have seen it. It's just not important to me. Yeah, I think so, but it's not important to me. What is your opinion of Women's History Month? Binyamin asks. I think it's feminist crap. That's what I think. It's garbage. And it's not that I don't respect women. I think women deserve respect. I think women, it's Jewish women that saved the Jewish people when we came out of Egypt and that saved them in Egypt, and the heroism and magnificent behavior of Jewish women is something that we honor and respect tremendously. And so, of course, you know, naturally, we love women and we respect women. But this is an attempt. So, so-called Women's History Month is an attempt to glorify feminists who destroy the roles of men and women in our society and create confusion and destroy families, and are for the most part lesbians. So, of course, I think it's disgusting and terrible. Binyamin now writes, did you know before reading this that March 8th is International Women's Day? What is your opinion of International Women's Day? Well, this is another, you know, one of these internationalist garbage ideologies that's intended, again, to destroy the family. So, of course, we're against it. Binyamin now writes, too, the first black president is Barack Hussein. The first black woman is the first black woman secretary of hate is Condoleezza. The first black first woman vice president is Kamala. The first black Supreme Court justice will be Ketanji. Why is the first black in certain positions always named a name like the ones I quoted above? Not all blacks have affirmative action names. Jesse Jackson is bad, but his name is a real English name. Many other blacks, good and bad, have real English names. Why do they specifically name blacks with such affirmative action names? Unquote. The reason they have affirmative action names, Binyamin, is because they want to create a history. They're ashamed of the fact that here in the United States, with their name, the only history they have is having been slaves. It's not much of a history. They want to pretend that they had a history and civilizations and other, which they never had in Africa. And so they want to invent things that never happened. And so, you know, they create these names, and the names are absolute joke. Ketanji. Her name is Ketanji. And, oh, this is really politically incorrect what I'm going to say. Wow, boy, is she ugly. Wow, is she ugly. And she's going to be sitting on the Supreme Court, that Whoopi Goldberg lookalike. Ugh. Anyway, and by the way, you say the first Secretary of Hate was Condoleezza. You know, of course, we called her Congolese Rice. Thank you, Binyamin. And now we move on to Amraphael, who writes, and I quote, Amraphael asks good questions every week, and he writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, how can we encourage more Jews to move to Israel? Okay, let's start off with that one. Well, of course, if we had an Israeli economy, which was a free market economy, and Israel became a really prosperous, booming powerhouse. Technologically, it's already, for its size, it's already a powerhouse. But there are other aspects of the economy in Israel that are primitive, and because of socialism, because it's a socialist country and still has socialist economics. Obviously, if the economy and the market were opened up, there'd be more Jews wanting to go there. And also, of course, if we had a truly Jewish state with true Jewish idealism like the Hilltop Youth, then Jews, the really good Jews, would want to go. They'd want to be part of something idealistic, of something special like that. Amraphael now writes, and I quote, have you thought about fundraisers for the Hilltop Youth, such as writing a book about your life or selling JTF or JDL merchandise, unquote? A book about my life, nobody would publish it. There were at least two journalists who wanted to write books about my life in the past. And they went to publishers, and the publisher said, no, I remember we went with one of the journalists, and we went to the office of a publisher, and this was a journalist who was a journalist for USA Today and for other major media, and he wanted to do a book on my life. And we went to the publisher, and the publisher... publisher said, it's too controversial. Your book, bombings to damage Soviet property to free Soviet Jews, this is controversial. This is too controversial. We can't do it. And in back of him was a picture of the book that he had just published on Malcolm X, who said that all whites are devils who should be exterminated, who was a rapist and a drug dealer who sold poison to his own to children in his own community, and was a pimp who used to beat the prostitutes that he exploited and took all of their money and exploited their bodies and hooked them on drugs, made them drug addicts and made them junkies so that they would come back, so they would sleep with 20 men a night and come back and give him the money. And this beast is promoted as a great hero in this book, which also became a movie and everything else. You know, it's all promoted. And it was promoted by the same guy who was telling me that my life is too controversial, this self-hating Jew. So that's the problem we have. The establishment, which controls publishing, which controls the media, is run by evil, rotten people. That's our problem. The story of the JDL, this little group, freeing 2 million Soviet Jews, 1 million of whom went to the land of Israel. I mean, this story, what a spectacular story this is. What a great, wow, be the greatest movies, the greatest book, the greatest movies, the greatest everything. And the miracles that occurred when we did this. And they're not interested. That they're not in. No. That they're not interested in. Instead, they want Black Lives Matter. So, you know, this is what we're dealing with. Farrakhan can write books and they publish it, and Arafat and all the murderers of Jews and everybody else who calls for exterminating entire races, that's all fine. And these are Jewish publishers who do this. But stories that tell a glorious story about the Jewish people and about battles that miraculously were won in our day, and that would create tremendous Jewish pride if these stories were told in the form of movies and plays and books and all the other things that Jews do on behalf of their enemies. If this was done telling the truth about what Jews have done to free Soviet Jews, what Jews did to create Israel, and so on and so forth. But that they won't do. They won't allow that. In fact, they'll do everything they can to censor that. That's the problem we have. Thank you, I'm Raphael. And now we go to Kahana Will Always Be Right, who writes, and I quote, comment on the following. Bill Mayer. I hope I'm pronouncing right, Bill Mayer. Yeah, he had a show called Politically Incorrect. Yeah, he's politically incorrect, that piece of garbage. Bill Mayer. You know, one thing I remember about, aside from him being an atheist and being a disgusting individual, I think his father is Jewish and his mother's not, you know, so he's not really Jewish, but in the eyes of the whole world, because his father's Jewish, they'll all consider him to be Jewish even though he's not. But, I mean, I remember this guy giving $1 million out of his own pocket to Barack Hussein Obama's re-election campaign in 2016 to help someone who wants to destroy his people in Israel. Or not his people, but at least his father, he has some Jewish roots. Why would he want to do that? Scum. Scum! And now, Connor Will Always Be Right asked me about various other people here. Next on the list is Sean Penn. Sean Penn's father was also Jewish, another one who has a Jewish father. And so he's not really Jewish. But everybody would consider him to be Jewish. He's an extreme leftist. He supports blacks, Muslims, homosexuals, every left-wing evil cause under the sun. All the enemies of the Jewish people he supports, of course. And he played Harvey Milk. Harvey Milk was a self-hating Jewish pedophile, homosexual pedophile, who has become a hero in the so-called gay rights movement. And he was a pedophile. He wrote about how he used to lure boys and try to, you know, basically to rape boys. He was luring them in to rape them. Because sex with a boy, between an adult and a boy, is rape. And so he was a pedophile, perverted, disgusting, nasty individual who was elected San Francisco supervisor. I think the term was supervisor. I don't remember. But he was elected for the first time, and someone elected, a homosexual was elected in the 70s. And it was a big deal. And this is who he played in the movie, trying to glorify this piece of filth. And the next one on the list is Michael Moore. Michael Moore is another extreme leftist who hates Israel, hates Jews, real anti-Semite, a disgusting cockroach. Next one on the list is Quentin Tarantino. Quentin Tarantino is an actor, a filmmaker in Hollywood, which of course I hold against him, because if you're successful in Hollywood, something's wrong with you. There's something wrong there. And the thing that I object to most about him now is that he's intermarried to a Jewish woman, to Tzvika Picks. Tzvika Pick is the Israeli songwriter. His daughter, he's married to Tzvika Pick's daughter. So he's married to a Jewish woman. Intermarriage, of course, is the end of the Jewish people. It's terrible. So, of course, I'm against it. So he's bad also. Noam Chomsky, oh, the ultimate traitor. You couldn't get... This is a Jewish Nazi. Just a Jewish Nazi, very simple. This is a so-called Jew who openly calls for the destruction of Israel, says that Israel has no right to exist and wants to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. I mean, just a Jewish Nazi. Noam Chomsky. And of course, he doesn't face any censorship on Facebook or Instagram or YouTube or Google or Twitter. He never faces censorship anywhere, this filthy swine. You know, we're told that someday one of the great rabbis, when he passed away, I don't remember which one, he had a near-death experience, a clinical death experience, and he went to the next world, but he came back. He came back to life, which is something that happens sometimes in the world. And he came back, and the rabbis asked him, "What did you see when you were there?" He said, "Well, I saw the next world." And he said, "In the next world, all the people that are important in this world are unimportant. And all the people that are on the margins, that are, you know, the righteous people that are really marginalized and crushed and pushed to the side in this world, they're the important people. They're the honored, important people in the next world." That's what I saw. And I think we're going to see that in the next world. I'm sure of it. Thank you, Kahana will always be right. And now we go to the great Nachas, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, what do you believe to be the top right-wing Kahana-style yeshivas in the world and in Israel in particular, and who would you deem to be among the greatest Talmidei Chachamim in Jewish history?" Unquote. I don't think there are Kahana-style yeshivas in the world, Nachas. Tragically, there aren't. People who are learning and studying, though, Torah, It's not a formal yeshiva, but the people who learn and study Torah the way it's supposed to be are the hilltop youth. They're the ones who are learning and studying Torah the way you're supposed to learn Torah. And I've never met anyone from the hilltop youth who doesn't love Rabbi Kahana. Not one who disagrees with Rabbi Kahana or doesn't love Rabbi Kahana. And Nachas asks about the greatest Talmidei Chachamim in Jewish history. Wow, there are many, of course, in... If you're talking about the oral Torah, probably the greatest in history would be Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was probably the greatest and probably most responsible for Torah Shebe'al Peh, for the oral Torah. And in modern times, my favorite is Hagaon Mivilna, which in English is that you say the Vilna Gaon, who was just an incredible genius and told all of his students 200 years ago, told them, go to Israel, make Aliyah. Because once we have 600,000 Jews there, there's going to be a Jewish state again, and it's going to be the beginning of the redemption. Once we have a Jewish state, the beginning of the redemption. And so he got them all to go at a time when it was very dangerous and very few Jews lived there and the conditions were very, very rough there. He got them to go. He got his students to go there. And he said, again, remember, he said, when 600,000 Jews live there, we'll have a Jewish state again. And surely enough, in 1948, when there were 600,000 Jews in Israel, we had a Jewish state again after 2,000 years. Nachas now writes, and I quote, "Please discuss Romaniotti and the following individuals." Okay, let's start with Romaniotti. Romaniotti are Greek-speaking Jews who didn't speak Ladino. Most of the Jews in Greece most of the Jews that lived in Greece spoke Ladino, which is because they came originally from the Spanish Inquisition. They fled to Greece, and the Romaniotti, they didn't speak Ladino because they were there before that. They were living in Greece even before that. And there aren't many of them left because 90% of Greek Jewry were murdered during the Holocaust. The Jews lived this, but most of the Jews in Greece lived in Salonika. That was a Jewish, beautiful Jewish town in southern Greece on the Mediterranean Sea. And 90% of the Jews there were murdered. And now Nachas asked me about the following individuals. Yehoram Gaon. Well, he's a very famous Israeli actor and singer for many, many years, since the 1970s. Very, very famous. Very talented, but part of the establishment. I don't like him, of course. You know I don't like establishment people. And what is he doing? Does he go and raise money? Why isn't he raising money for the Hilltop Youth? Why isn't he going and fighting for these important causes? I mean, the guy is very wealthy and very powerful now because he's been famous since the 70s. All these famous guys, what do? Why aren't they doing what has to be done, what cries out for being done in our generation? So I'm sorry. I can't look at all the terrible tragedy that's caused by this and not say, what the hell is wrong with these people? And Nachas now writes, Harav Moshe Feinstein. Harav Moshe Feinstein was a great Torah scholar, but unfortunately he told the Jews that it's okay to live outside of Israel, and he was part of the Haredi tradition of not believing that we all have to live in the land of Israel. And so, tragedy, you know, followed the old line of we have to be afraid to protest and afraid to speak out and afraid, you know. Not my cup of tea, even though he was a great Torah scholar. And anti-communist Elia Kazan. Nachas is asking about Elia Kazan, of course, was the famous Hollywood director and producer who was one of the greatest Hollywood producers and directors. And he Nachas says that he's anti-communist because he testified, of course, before the House American Anti-American Activities Committee or Un-American Activities Committee during the McCarthy era. But still, he was a Hollywood... He was a Hollywood actor. He was a great... not Hollywood. He was a Hollywood producer and director. Was he a great producer and director? Yes. Was he very talented? Yes. Am I impressed with him? Not particularly. And now Nachas writes, you see, when someone has power and money and can make this a better world and doesn't do so, I don't respect that. I can't respect it. Nachas now asks about the Jewish actor Daniel Day-Lewis. Another leftist. Another guy who doesn't care about anything except his career and his... A leftist, intermarried, by the way. He's Jewish, but he's intermarried. Scum! And the Jewish singer Paula Abdul. This is a Syrian Jewish woman who, again, plenty of money, plenty of influence, doesn't use it for the right causes. I wish she would. I wish she would, because she claims to be very proud to be Jewish and so on. So I wish she would use it for the right causes. But she doesn't. Thank you and God bless you, Nachas. And yes, and for people, for just for people should know, just so that you'll know, I demand out of people who have money and out of people who have power that they use it to make this a better world and support the real causes that would make this a better world. Yes, I demand it out of them. And Jewish people, for the Hilltop Youth, certainly. Jewish people must support the Hilltop Youth. And with money and power, and they don't... Imagine if I was very wealthy and had tremendous money and power. Could you imagine how much better our situation would be in Israel with Judea and Samaria? You know that I would use that money. I wouldn't use that money to buy a Mercedes Benz. I'd never buy German cars to begin with. But you know I wouldn't to buy Mercedes and live and have a yacht and have mansions. I would never do any of that. I don't care a damn about any of that. My life would be devoted to using whatever I have to help the Hilltop Youth and to help us in the land of Israel. How sad that we don't have someone with those resources that can do that today. And now, we're trying, by the way. We try to reach people with those resources, and I hope that eventually we will. I hope someone will eventually wake up and realize, wow, what an opportunity to make a real difference. And now we go to Yemach Shmoda Islam, our friend who writes, and I quote, Dech Hayim, please discuss Kevin Spacey. Oh, he is a just atrocious, horrible, disgusting individual who... You know, again, the Hollywood guy who sexually, spend his time sexually harassing and attacking other male actors. Just a sickness. Just sickness. And then he came out of the closet and said that he's gay and so on, and the problems he has being gay. Just the whole thing makes me want to puke. And Yamashvo now writes, also, what are your thoughts on people wishing harm disease on others? The reason why I'm asking this is because there was a former YouTuber named Corey Margera doing this, and he even had the nerve to call God a liar, unquote. Well, I don't know. I don't know anything about the details of this, Yamashvo to Islam. I don't know anything about the details of this. And, if he was just maliciously doing it for malicious reasons, in the end, God will give him everything that he wished on others if he did it unjustly. Thank you, Yamashvo to Islam. And now we go to an old-time friend of ours, Chicago Jew, who sometimes doesn't like what I stand for. Chicago Jew writes, and I quote, would you have a more favorable view of Donald Trump had he never endorsed an alleged two-state solution, unquote? Well, obviously, the fact that he supports a so-called Palestinian state, which is suicide for Israel, obviously that bothers me a lot and says a lot about him. I would never have liked someone like him. I would never like somebody like him. If he had been good for Israel, even though I don't like him, I would have supported him. But he was bad for Israel. I don't like arrogant, proud, nasty people like this. Just an arrogant, proud, nasty, selfish, egotistical, megalomaniacal individual like this. I can't stand people like this. I detest people like that. And how people admired him and loved him, to me, unfortunately, it speaks volumes about the character of people in our generation. Why would people love and admire somebody like this? Just so egotistical, so proud, so nasty, so cruel. I remember him even before he started running for president, just the things he did. Going on the Howard Stern show and bragging about all his adulterous affairs and just all the terrible things that he did and said and stood for. I would never like an individual like this. I detest people like him. Thank you, Chicago Jew. And we go now to Roy, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, comment on the following, and then there's a list here again. Dennis Prager. Dennis Prager is a despicable individual. Horrible individual who had a radio show and has other things. Just a phony, opportunistic, money-grubbing piece of garbage who condemned our great leader, Rabbi Meir Kahana. Can you imagine this piece of dreck has the nerve to condemn our great rabbi. This piece of garbage, who never accomplished anything positive in the world, has the nerve to condemn our great rabbi. What a chutzpah. And Pat Kandel. Pat Kandel is an atheist, and he was anti-Israel, but he changed because of the Muslims. The Muslims convinced him that Israel was right, and so he started doing videos supporting Israel. He's a British Gentile, and he started doing videos supporting Israel, and he has a lot of guts. I don't even know if he's still on YouTube. I don't know if they took him off. I don't know, but I know that he had a lot of guts. He said things that were politically incorrect. This is a guy with guts. Him, even though I don't like his atheism and I don't agree with some of the things he says, but I respect his courage. He's courageous and he had guts. So, him I respect. And Roy now writes, Roman Abramovich. Oh, what a hideous animal. A multi-billionaire Jew from the Soviet Union, from Russia in the Soviet days, and just, what a pig. What a pig. Worth so much money, involved with Putin, who was trying to turn Iran into a nuclear power to destroy Israel. the lowest. And of course he has investments in Israel too, and the Israelis are so happy to deal with him, of course. Just horrible. Roy now asks about Yair Bolsonaro. I think it's Jair because it's Portuguese. Jair Bolsonaro. Jair Bolsonaro is the, of course, is the president of Brazil. And he claims to love, he's a Trump-type character. But he claims to be very pro-Israel, and he has said things that are pro-Israel. And, you know, but he does a lot of crazy things and says a lot of crazy things. Just nuts. Nuts. Even though he did, he has supported Israel and stood up for Israel and said things that most leaders in the world would not say for Israel. So, you know, I'll give him that much. I'll give him credit for that. And Xi Jinping, I don't know if I'm pronouncing right, Xi Jinping, the dictator of communist China. Yimach shmo v'zichro shem reshaim yirkav, that filthy animal who spread the coronavirus all over the place, and my poor mother, zichrona livracha aleiha hashalom, died from the coronavirus because of his experiments in the Wuhan laboratory that got out of the laboratory and spread all over the world, and then he lied about it. Just a vile, vile individual responsible for the murder of millions of innocent people throughout the world. And Roy writes now, thank you and God bless you. Thank you, Roy. Ani modelecha, Roy. And now we go to Eliezer, who writes, and I quote, Der Chaim, in your video with Ron, Ron said that Stefan Bandera was ally of Germans and then was ally of Soviets, and you agree with Ron. If you look up historical information, between 1942 and 1943, Bandera was in Sachsenhausen concentration camp. Following this logic, is it correct to assume you're an ally of the American government that locked you up? And if you are not ally of people who locked you up, why do you agree that Bandera was ally of Germans who locked him up? Because Bandera was an ally of Nazi Germany, and then because Nazi Germany did not support the independence of Ukraine, they put him in prison. They didn't kill him. Now, Nazi Germany, if they put you in prison and you survive, that means the Nazis don't think, aren't very mad at you. But they put him in prison because he was angry over the fact that Nazi Germany didn't recognize the independence of Ukraine. And then in 1944, guess what, Eliezer? 1944, with like a year or two before the war ended, or a year before the war ended, the Germans freed him and allowed him to go back and become the leader of the Ukrainians again. Isn't that amazing? And he started fighting with right beside the Nazi Germans again. That's not an ally of Nazi Germany? Someone who fought with the German Nazis, supported the German Nazis, then had a disagreement with them, so they put him in prison for a while, but then they released him and he went back out to fight with the German Nazis till the end of World War II. That's not an ally of Germany. And someone who murdered hundreds of thousands of Jews. He was participated in the Ukrainian Holocaust against the Ukrainian Jewry. You're defending him, Eliezer? Are you Jewish? You're defending him? That's like defending Hitler. Eliezer now writes, and I quote, a while ago I asked you what will happen to supporters of various Israeli national heroes such as Rabin, Sharon, and Pipi. You very generously gave them a benefit of doubt that these supporters didn't know what they were doing. When it comes to Ukrainians, you blame the whole of Ukraine, including people whose only fault is that their ancestors were involved. Why don't you hold all of Israel responsible for having such national heroes, unquote? Because, Eliezer, there's a difference between being dumb enough to support someone like Netanyahu because you think he's a right-winger and be mistaken and think that it's good for Israel because you just don't have the facts. That's one thing. There's a difference between that and throwing Jewish men, women, and children in huge pits at Babi Yar and burying them alive and suffocating them with the soil and marching around with swastikas and promising to exterminate the Jewish people and slaughtering hundreds of thousands of innocent men, women, and children and babies. I think there's a little difference between Israelis who are dumb enough to support Netanyahu and Ukrainians who support Nazi national heroes that want to exterminate the Jewish people. I think there's a slight difference there, Eliezer. The Ukrainians don't have any pity on Jews, and I have no pity on them. Yimach shmam v'zichram, shem reshaim yirkav. I hope they get blitzed into oblivion. Everything they wanted to do to the Jews, that they fought together with Nazi Germany to do to the Jews, should happen to them seven times over. Next, is Harel 156, a longtime friend of ours, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, what would you advise Putin about how to continue the war he is doing against Nazi Ukraine? I think the only thing he can do at this point is destroy as much as he can destroy. He has a problem. Putin has a problem. Because the Russian army is an army, it's an army of alcoholics, of drunks. And that really is his problem. The whole country is a country of drunkards. They hated the Jews, and so most of the Jewish scientists and Jewish brains left Russia. They were the ones who had brains enough to create technology and create weapons and create a country that could have been something. But they were jealous of the Jews and hated the Jews in Russia. Just like the Ukrainians hated the Jews and were jealous of the Jews in Ukraine. So I don't know what to tell Putin at this point. I don't like Putin, and I don't like Russia, and I don't like Ukraine. I don't like either one of them. But I wish them both luck, Harel. I wish them both luck, okay? I know what Russia did to the Jewish people too. And I know, and Russia today, Russia does everything they can to destroy Israel as well. So I wish them both luck. They should kill each other. Harel now writes, and I quote, do you think Jerusalem could be a place for talks as Zelensky asks? Unquote. Any good will come to Israel if these talks will be in the holy city? I don't think so. What would Israel gain by this? What's the point of this? No, I don't think this should be. You know what will happen? If the Jews get involved, everybody will blame the Jews. No matter what happens, Israel will be blamed, the Jews will be blamed. Anything goes wrong, the Jews will be blamed by both sides, by everybody. And Israel will be blamed by everybody. No, there's nothing to be gained by that. That's crazy. Israel shouldn't be involved at all. And Harel now writes, and I quote, it looks like this was instigated by the West. Why are there 100,000 U.S. soldiers in Europe? Your opinion, please. I think Putin wants to recreate the Russian Empire, the Tsarist Russian Empire. And I think that, and Ukraine, the Ukrainians hate the Russians. The Ukrainians are just Nazis who hate the Russians. Inevitably there was going to be a clash eventually. There was going to be a clash. On another subject, what do you think about Ashkenazi foods, kugel, pecha, deli, appetizing, schmaltz, versus Sephardic food? What would you prefer? I prefer and advocate for healthy eating, Harel. I think you know me. I mean, we've met quite a few times, and you know me, and you know that I believe in healthy food. And there's a lot of Ashkenazi food that's very unhealthy, and there's a lot of Sephardic food that's very unhealthy. Taste-wise, I prefer the Sephardic food, taste-wise. Although there's Ashkenazi food that's very delicious. But, I just prefer the Sephardic food as far as taste. But what I prefer is what's healthy. Fruits and vegetables and fish and whole wheat bread. 100% whole wheat bread, 100% whole wheat pasta, 100% and brown rice, and things that are good for you, things that are healthy. Only healthy things. Things without sugar and without salt. And if you like spices, there are spices that are healthy. You don't have to put salt. Salt is not healthy. That's what I like. I want to live. I want to be healthy. Harel, I'm 65 years old. How much time do I have left? I want to live as long as I can and be healthy as long as I can so I can help the Hilltop youth. That's what I live for. And the people I care about, the people I love and care about, that's what I live for. And so I want to be healthy, and I want to urge Jews and righteous Gentiles to eat healthy and to live healthy lives. Thank you, Harel, and I want to thank everybody else for another program of Ask JTF. If we work together as a team, we've proven in the past 7 or 8 months that we can change things. We've made a difference on those hilltops. We need to make a much bigger difference, and we're going to continue fighting until we do. Join us in that battle. Be part of something really meaningful and really important. For JTF until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.